few billion Christians all over the world are gathering just like we are here today to celebrate the day that Jesus rode into downtown Jerusalem and was welcomed with palm leaves. It's also the day that we recognize, looking back now, although the people at the time didn't know it looking forward, is the last week of Jesus' life. And so, as you heard on the announcements, join us this week. Wednesday night, we'll have Easter communion here. And next Sunday morning, three Easter services. All are identical. There'll be no life groups next week. But join us for one of those Easter celebrations. Well, we now realize, looking backward, that today historically marks the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life. And in celebration of Jesus' arrival into Jerusalem, Jews lined the city streets and welcomed him in sort of a parade fashion. If you look at John chapter 12, verse 13, I want to point out a nuance and an often overlooked part of Palm Sunday this morning. John 12, 13, they took palm branches and went out to meet him shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Couple of thoughts. Verse 13 says, "Hosanna." Hosanna is literally translated "save." Now that'll be important in a minute. It's literally translated "save." But I don't know, have you ever asked the question, why when Jesus came riding in downtown Jerusalem on this day, 2,000 or so years ago, did the people gather and throw palm branches at his feet and wave palm branches as he went by? I mean, why Palm Sunday? Why not Oak Sunday or Maple Sunday or Hickory Sunday? Why not, you know, Crepe Myrtle Sunday? Why not Magnolia Sunday? Why Palm Sunday? Well, there's a practical reason. One of them is because many people think the time of the year that this event happened, there were no other trees in the area that had leaves on them yet. I don't know if you've looked outside and realized, in my backyard, there's little bitty leaves just starting to pop out. But if I wanted to go, like, get one of those and wave them at somebody, you wouldn't even see me coming. But palm trees, now, those are leaves that are hardy and live year-round. So I think there's a practical reason they were plentiful, but that's not to say that there's a significance other than that. The palm tree to the Jew represents victory. When Solomon built the temple, he had palm trees carved into the walls and the doors of the temple, and then he had them laid over with gold. So the people were lining the city streets with palm leaves in their hands, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," which means save, save. In other words, give us victory. Remember, the palm leaf represents victory. Give us victory. Victory from what? Victory from Roman oppression. They wanted political and military victory over the Romans. They weren't as concerned about their souls as they were about their government. Boy, that's a relevant message, isn't it? They weren't as concerned about their souls as they were their government. Man, there's a lot of Christians I'd like to sit down and just say that to. But God had a plan to bless them and increase them, and for them to be strengthened and to flourish. Look at Psalm 92, 12 through 15. And I want you to notice the reference in Psalm 92 to the palm tree. "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" Verse 12 specifically says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree." Now this morning, I'm going to suggest a couple of things to you, and this entire message is built partly on suggestion. I'm going to suggest to you that when the Old Testament Jew heard this verse, they would have understood it through the lens of the common knowledge in their day of a palm tree. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. I'm going to suggest to you that the person who heard that originally would have some basic understanding of what a palm tree was, and would have some understanding of how God wanted them to flourish based on the common knowledge of a palm tree. I'm also going to suggest to you that God knew that basic understanding and inspired the writer of this psalm to write palm tree for the same reason. In other words, why will the righteous flourish like a palm tree? Now, if you've got your bulletin this morning and something to write with, I want to just give you three characteristics of a palm tree and show you why I believe the Bible says to us that the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Number one, you never have to water it. Why would God say the righteous will flourish like a palm tree? Because you never have to water it. Look at the dry and desolate places on earth that palm trees grow. You can go to some of the most outback, dry, dead, desolate places on earth, and there'll be a palm tree. You want to look at that little tree sometimes and say, what are you doing here? Don't you know that everything else is dead? But that's the way palm trees grow. A man went to plant trees, and as he looked across at his neighbor's yard, he realized that he had these luscious, beautiful trees. So he thought, before I plant trees in my yard, I'm going to go over and ask him what his secret is. So he asked his neighbor, what's your secret to growing these beautiful trees? His neighbor said, I only have one secret, and here it is. Don't water them. What? That's the secret? Don't water them? Yes. Watering a tree causes it to be weaker and keeps it from growing its roots down deep in the ground. The tree knows you're going to water it, so instead of the roots going deep, they go wide. And they stay close to the surface of the ground. If you don't water it, the tree only has two options. Die for lack of water or send its root system down deep into the ground until it finds water. And that's how a tree will grow. It is in the struggle that the tree grows strong and finds water. If you pamper a tree and water it all the time, you'll have weak and shallow root system, and when a storm comes along, it'll knock it right over because it has no anchor underneath the soil to keep it there. When Stacy and I lived in Mississippi, there was a tree there called the Friendship Oak. It was so old, it was thought to have been a sapling when Christopher Columbus landed in America. It's this huge, wiry, draping oak tree with an enormous canopy. And that tree was to have said to had a tap root that ran 150 feet straight in the ground and had a root system that went from the college front lawn that it was on under the sidewalk, under Highway 90, under the other side of Highway 90, all the way to the beach. It was an enormous tree. But it had stood the test of time because it had deep roots. I don't know if that's true for every tree, but I do know it's true for a palm tree. Nobody waters a palm tree in the desert. In the same way, God says to his children, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. In other words, faith gives us the ability to push below surface feelings and reach a deep relationship with God. Let me just say it clearly this morning. God loves us too much to pamper us. God loves us too much to coddle us. God loves us too much to wrap himself around us, make us the center of the universe, and sort of wait on us hand and foot. He wants us to have a spiritual root system that taps into the source of life and is not satisfied with the surface water that somebody else gives us. He wants us to experience the deep water that only comes with a deep relationship with him. So how does that look in our life? Look, just coming to a worship service on Sunday is surface water. And that's why we started something a couple years ago called Soak. A worship service where we come once a month. It was last Sunday night, where we just come and worship because we want to try to help people to go deeper. But even that in of itself is not enough. Even that is no replacement for going deeper through your own prayer and Bible study and connecting to other growing believers who will, like Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron. They will urge you on. Hebrews says, spur one another on toward love and good deeds. God wants a relationship with you all week, not just Sunday morning. This is why God sometimes allows us, and I want you to hear this clearly this morning, to experience testing and trial and discouragement and frustration, and sometimes, yes, even pain. Now, God in His mercy doesn't want us to experience any of those things. But because the world is broken and fallen from His original plan, He knows that you and I won't escape. We won't move through this earth and live a life without experiencing all those things. And so sometimes God allows those things in our life to try to train us to drop a deep tap root down in the ground so that the next bad experience won't land blast us. It won't wipe us out. It won't mow us over. He wants you to have deep roots. God takes no joy. He takes no pleasure in any of it. And I often watch God, the last 10 years of my life, I've watched God over and over and over again in my own life. When I go through difficult times and I say, God, why don't you just take this away? And God doesn't take it away. And I want Him to take it away. And I don't know why He doesn't take it away, but He doesn't take it away. But at the same time, I see Him tenderly and in a loving and a caring way work inside that circumstance and take the rough edges off of it with such detail, methodical, parent-like, mother-like care. And I've said this several times about my own life in the last decade. This is as good as a bad situation can be. And it's because God in His mercy would come and soften. And why He doesn't just take the, I don't know. I don't understand all of that. But I know God in His mercy would soften the edges for me. This is God's care. But on the other hand, He loves us too much to allow us to stay shallow. So we sometimes face discouragement and frustration and pain because He's trying to show us, drop a deep taproot, get deep with me, and you'll survive the storms of life. Not just survive, you'll thrive. There was a man sitting on his porch with his grandson out in the country, and an ambulance came screaming by, and right behind it was a dog, full sprint, barking. You've seen an old country dog chasing this ambulance down the road. And the granddad looked over to his grandson, and he said, "He's not even trying." "What do you mean?" A few minutes later, the dog came running back the other way, stretched out as hard as he could, running with all of his might, chased by a pack of wolves. And he looked at his grandson and he said, "Now he's trying." If I'm honest with you, the deepest times in my prayer life have oftentimes come when I was facing a challenge that I couldn't beat. And I knew I couldn't beat it. And I knew it was all up to God. And I knew there was nothing I could do about it. And I knew my only hope and my only way out was God. And the only answer I had was God. In our present culture, it's very easy to become a spiritual junkie, to scrape the surface, to fill the square, to look the part with no inner depth, with no deep root. I've got a question for you this morning. If you're taking notes, I'd like you to write this one down. If I were to ask you the question, how deep are you with God? How would you answer it? You just think about that. Maybe you want to scratch a little answer there. Maybe you want to think about that. If I were to ask you, how deep are you with God? How would you quantify it? How would you answer it? How would you respond? Would you put it on a scale? Would you put it at a temperature? How would you respond to that question? This verse says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Not just get by, but flourish. The question is, if you're not flourishing, growing in your faith, it may be because you need to put down deeper roots. I think one of the reasons that Psalm 92 says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree is because you don't have to water them. They'll find water. Here's the second one. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree because a palm tree reproduces itself. It reproduces itself. Now, there are two ways that a palm tree reproduces itself. One is through the root system. If you've ever been out in a place where there are palm trees, been out in a desert or whatever, where they grow wild, when you see a group of palm trees, most of the time, they all came from one root. Wouldn't it be neat if we could plant a Christian in every business in Shelby County, on the sideline of every athletic field and every Mother's Day out and every college campus in our area, and if we could plant a Christian there and other ones would just start to pop up? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be great if we could plant believers like a palm tree? You would be rooted with a deep root and begin to spread out and make an influence and an impact on those around you and just reproduce your faith in other people. Wouldn't it be neat if you could then begin to look in those groups and where there was one, now there's two, maybe there's three? Wouldn't that be incredible? But there's another way that a palm tree reproduces itself. It reproduces itself through its own death. You think when a palm tree dies, it's over. But when that palm tree dies and that big trunk lays down on the ground and it begins to rot, all along the ridgeline of that trunk will sprout little bitty saplings, little bitty palm trees will begin to come out of that dead trunk. And many palm trees will come from that one tree. In its death, it will produce more than it ever produced in its life. Man, the symbolism is popping off the wall. Jesus' death produced more followers than his life did. It's only in sacrifice that we make a difference in the lives of those around us. For me to reproduce my faith in someone else's life, it's going to cost me something. Something in me has to die. My agenda has to die. My plans have to die. My schedule has to die. My convenience, my comfort, my own faith will be challenged. There's a sacrificial cost to reproducing the life of God that's in you. In the early church, in church history, the palm leaf became known as a symbol of martyrdom. So much so, in 1688, the church decided that when a palm leaf was found on catacomb tombs, it was to be regarded as proof that in that tomb lied a martyr, because there was a palm leaf on it. The question is, Who knows God? Who knows Jesus? Who knows Christ because of you? What have you sacrificed? What have you given up? What has died in you that the life of Christ might live in somebody else? Think about that question this morning. Only in our sacrifice will we ever impact the world around us. Palm tree never has to be watered. The palm tree reproduces itself. Now here's the last one. The palm tree grows from the inside out. Palm tree grows from the inside out. I don't know if you know this or not, but most trees grow from the outside in. In other words, they just continue to expand by adding layers on the outside. That's why when you cut a tree down and you look at the stump, you can tell how old it is by the rings, because it's growing from the outside in. They grow adding layers that way. The palm tree actually adds cells from the inside and grows out. This is how a palm tree heals itself, and this is how a palm tree becomes strong, and this is one of the reasons a palm tree is so resilient. This is why you sometimes see a big knot. You ever see one of those big old knots on a palm tree? Looks like a big old tumor grew on it, or a big, you know, you go, what is wrong with it? Why did that happen? Why did it grow deformed like that? It didn't grow deformed. When a palm tree gets damaged, it adds cells from the inside, and those cells are fed to the area of weakness until it becomes strong, until it builds a knot there and becomes strong. That's why you sometimes see those knots. There was a cut there. It was hurt there. Something happened to the tree there, and because its growth comes from the inside out, that knot has now become the tree's strongest point. Can you imagine what it would be like if we would surrender our heart to God? Can you imagine what it would be like, instead of seeking revenge, instead of withholding forgiveness, instead of putting walls up to protect ourselves artificially? Can you imagine what the kingdom of God would be like? Can you imagine what your family would be like? Can you imagine what church would be like if we would just heal where we were hurt? If we would let God's grace produce that inside of our life? So the question I have this morning for you is, have you outgrown your wounds? Have you outgrown your wounds? Have you allowed the life of God to produce inside of you in such a way that you've outgrown your wounds? Can you imagine if we were a church with just a bunch of knots? Now, where'd you get your knot? Well, I had a rough childhood. Where'd you get your knot? Well, that first marriage, well, that was something. Where'd you get your knot? But we had healed from those things. Somehow, God knows how to treat our hurts with compassion, but not to allow us to build our identity around them. Parent wounds, church wounds, marriage wounds, friendship wounds. Can you imagine how strong we would be if we would allow God to help us to outgrow them? If we just allowed God to keep growing us on the inside with His grace until that became the strongest part of us. That wound became so healed, it became knotted up and strong, and we could build something on it then. What this means also is that true change in the life of the believer happens on the outside last. You ever look at somebody and wish they'd clean their act up? It's because God's still working on the inside, and that change hasn't made it on the outside yet, but it will. That's what Jesus' argument with the Pharisees was about, and he called them hypocrites. He was very angry with them about this. You clean the outside of the cup, and you think because the outside's shiny and polished that you're clean, but inside you're empty and hollow. He said, fill the inside of the cup, and the outside will be clean. Right? It's a biblical principle. And so what this means is the way that change comes in our life as believers is it comes from the inside and then works its way out. When we get that wrong, we really hurt people. And we really stunt people's growth when we get that wrong, when we get that backward. Psalm 92:12 says the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. So God's plan is to bring you victory. Good news. God's plan is to bring you victory. God's plan is that your life might flourish. The people in Jerusalem at the first Palm Sunday were looking for political and military victory. Now on Palm Sunday, I ask you what kind of victory you're looking for. Are you looking for political victory? You're looking for an answer in Washington? Are you looking for a victory of power? Let's just take control of this country and put it back the way it was. That's the same thing the people who waved the palm leaves on Sunday who were gone by Friday. It's the same thing they wanted. Maybe the kind of victory Jesus wants to bring us is the same kind He brought His first disciples. Think about what we've talked about. Deep relationship with God. Sacrificial faith that reproduces itself. And wounds that are healed. That's a pretty good combination for flourishing, isn't it? When your wounds are healed, you sacrificially reproduce your faith, and you have a deep relationship with God, I believe you'll flourish. I believe Psalm 92 has a point about palm trees. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I don't know if you have ever thought about this verse. I'm going to end with a verse that you've probably read or heard many, many times in your life. But I bet there's one part of it you've never picked out before. You know how I said to you that the palm leaf represents victory? Well, in the final picture of the universal gathering of the church, when the church, when I mean the church, I don't mean this church or the churches in Alabaster or the churches in Shelby County. I don't even mean all the churches in the world. I mean all the churches in the world that have ever existed. Every believer who has ever existed in any time period of world history, when we gather together in heaven and everything here is done, this whole thing about the righteous flourishing is going to come full circle. Those with deep roots, those that have reproduced their faith, those who have healed from their wounds, will gather together in heaven, stand and sing, And listen to how Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 puts it. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes. And what did they have in their hand? Palm branches. Because victory had now become complete. From every tribe, from every tongue, from every nation, from every people on earth, and they were standing with palm branches in their hands. You know why? It means victory. Not political victory, not military victory, not forced victory, not dictator victory, but God-given victory, like we're going to celebrate next week at Easter when Jesus died and came back from the dead. The kind of victory not that the people who wanted political power that gathered on Palm Sunday wanted, but the kind of victory that the disciples knew in their heart when they were thrust from the upper room and reproduced their faith all over the world. Victory. Healing from every hurt. Deep connection to God. Won't it be fun when you get to heaven to look around and see people that you shared your faith with? Won't that be fun? Boy, that'll be something, won't it? Some that you didn't even know would be there. You know, I shared with you, but we lost track of each other, and I maybe hadn't seen them, and now here they are, and you were part of that. You watered, or you planted the seed, or you tore up the ground, or you became some part of their connection to God. Won't that be fun? Well, you and I have all of those other things to live here first. We've got those pains and frustrations and discouraging times that we still need to lay a deep root in. We still got people all over this county. We need to reproduce our faith. And we still have folks who carry wounds. God still wants to keep flushing those new cells of grace in your inner being till it makes you strong where you were hurt. Stand with me this morning.